This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Today, I'm super excited because we have a story that is going to change your life today. We have a story that's going to make an impact in how you move and how you build relationships. We have a story that when I heard this story at a special event at Vision Expo, it changed my life. And this story is going to be told by the one and only. That's right, you guys, the one and only Talia Bruno. How are you doing today, Talia?
I'm doing good. Thanks so much for having me. This is so exciting. How are you doing?
Look, I'm super excited, and I can't tell you how much. I'm just so thankful and so grateful for you being on the show today. You know, I had the opportunity to attend the Optical Women's Association breakfast during Vision Expo, and I know you were a winner of one of the awards there. And, you know, the speech that you gave, it touched me. Just, you know, telling your journey from day one all the way up to where your career has taken you today was just mind blowing. And it touched me in ways that I was just like, everyone needs to hear this story. Right. Because, Talia, you know, there's someone out there that looks like you that is experiencing some of the same things you did early in your journey. And they may be feeling like they don't have what it takes to, you know, get across that hump or take it to the next level. So I really wanted to bring you on a show to discuss your journey, but also most importantly, to talk about the relationship building that you have created. I mean, you have done some fabulous things in eye care. And for all those out there that may not know, Talia is amazing in everything that she does. I mean, we're talking about sales director, entrepreneur, mentor, and most importantly, a mom of three beautiful children. Talia, I know I gave a little bit of an overview of who you are, but if you don't mind, maybe sharing a little bit more about your background. I feel like I already know everything about you, but I want you to speak some so I don't have to keep running my mouth here. So if you don't mind sharing, you know, maybe where you're from and how you got into the eye care industry.
Yeah, sure. So first of all, thank you so much. That means a lot because, you know, at the breakfast, the champagne breakfast, you're really allotted a certain amount of time. So I struggled a bit on how to get my story across within that short time period. So I want to say that I'm grateful and thankful for you allowing me this platform to speak to those that might feel the way that I had always felt along my journey. But about, you know, a little bit about me, you know, well, I'm a daughter, as I said, you know, during my speech, I'm a daughter to immigrant parents. And my parents actually came here in the late 70s. They were in their late 20s. They were not educated here in the United States, and they didn't really have much of an education from where they came from as well. And so they literally lived the American, they were all about the American dream, the American opportunity. They came here to give opportunity for us. Yeah. And so, you know, grew up in the inner city of Brooklyn, New York, in Sunset Park till I was about 11 years old. Watched my parents work two jobs, grew up in a really rough neighborhood, but I didn't know at the time that it was, I mean, I saw what was going on around me, but my parents did a really good job of keeping us close as a family and kind of protecting us. And I didn't realize I was poor either until I would visit other people's house. And I'm like, oh, okay, wow. You know, how do you know, but still, I grew up happy. I didn't have much, but I grew up really happy. But as I got older and you become cognizant of that, that's when, like, you start to get these insecurities. And not only that, people along your journey point that out. I know you asked how I got into the eye care industry. Interestingly enough, I didn't come from optical. My journey started first at Coors Brewing Company. So when I graduated college, I landed a job as an on-premise representative for Coors Brewing Company. And basically that job entailed me managing a portfolio of brands. Everybody thinks when they think of Coors, they think of just Coors Light, but they actually had a portfolio that consisted of many other beverages. And they had just acquired Molson at the time. So I was brought on board to manage a portfolio of brands, and I was managing their top 50 nightclubs in Monmouth and Ocean County, New Jersey, which is in essence the Jersey Shore. Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of my account management skills really was, they had an amazing training program. So it was interesting how when I entered into the optical industry, I took a lot of those learnings and brought it to optical. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. 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 You know, I love that you mentioned that. I always say legal job, because I was working before I could actually work legally, was at Chick-fil-A. And I worked that job for 4 years. And when you're talking about customer service, yes, sir, no, sir, really connecting with the person in front of you, having that, you know, that eye contact and being able to work efficiently. I learned so much from having that job. I didn't realize at the time that it was going to help me become the optometrist that I am today. But it's so much that you can learn from your past experiences, whether it's personally or whether it's professionally. And, you know, it's funny, you mentioned, you know, when you were younger, you didn't realize you were poor. I didn't realize that at all about myself as well, right? And as I started to get older in life and, you know, started making some money and, you know, doing fairly okay for myself, my wife being able to also just make our life even better, I sat back and I thought about it. I was like, man, my parents, they made us feel like we were wealthy as can be, but we were definitely wealthy in our purpose and our core values. And as a result of that, that's helped me tremendously. You know, this past weekend, I actually took my son back to the place that I grew up at, you know.
Oh, what did he say?
Oh, well, it's funny. I was like, son, you see that place up there? 800 square feet. Do you know what that is in comparison to the house that you live in? And of course, he's six. No. But I said, son, do you want to stay here? Do you want to live here? And he was just like, no, daddy. Nope. Why is that guy walking with his shirt off over there? I think we should go home. And I'm like, son, this is where I grew up at, right? But it's so crazy how your early encounters in life impact who you are, where you go, and how you can make an impact, right? And it's very important to always remember those things, because that's how you elevate your life and go to the next level and pay it forward, right? But, you know, today I want to really get into this relationship building with you, because I feel like you have mastered that. And I think it's because of, you know, the journey that you just touched on, and it's really opened up the doors to a lot of opportunities for you. I've watched your career. I've looked at your career. I've studied you on LinkedIn, and I've seen that you've really, you know, jumped through different stages in your career with different companies and made an impact to where you're at today. So I would really like to discuss, you know, how do you build, you know, resilient relationships? Maybe you can, you know, start from the top and give us some tips and some guidance, because relationship building is everything in eye care. It's really everything in life. If you don't make that connection with that person in front of you, how can you truly find the right solution? So maybe if you could start off with maybe the relationship building, you know, how you were able to really build that with your career.
I think whether you're in the workplace or you're even evaluating your own life, you know, how do you get that is through trust. I mean, if you don't have trust, then you're not going to build a resilient relationship. You know, trust is a critical part of truly all interactions that we have as humans. It plays an integral role in communicating and in all aspects of our life, you know, especially in the workplace, which is what you're referencing. So I would say through trust. And regarding how to build a resilient relationship, I mean, trust is going to be the number one, but there are a lot of other things which I've learned along the way, both like in life, but mainly in, you know, very much so in the optical industry, because it is a very much so a relationship driven industry. And considering that I didn't come from this industry, I take a step back and am kind of impressed how far I came along too, because there are veterans far more senior than me where I am able to play at the level that they play, but I had to prove myself in this industry. So, I mean, first and foremost was honesty, you know, and I'm the type, you know, I'm from New York originally. I don't live in New York anymore. I'm in the South. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, but we, you know, New Yorkers can be very frank at times. And so I still hold that personality. But I believe that you know, it's okay to be that way, provided that it's done in a manner that's not insulting the other person. So
right. As long as it's tasteful, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think it's also really important to honor your commitments. And, you know, on my side, on the sales side, my customers ask for various different commitments. And, you know, if you're a trustworthy person and you need to keep your word or whatever agreement that you made with them. I mean, if you made a promise, you need to follow through on that. And, you know, we got to do, you know, okay, you're going to break some here or there because of situations that may come through, but you got to avoid making promises that, you know, you can't keep.
Yeah.
I think it's really, you know, something that I did recently, which, you know, it was very, I didn't know how I was going to take this acceptance speech, but I chose the route of vulnerability. And I was very vulnerable with my peers in sharing my story, which for the longest time, I didn't want people to know that I came from where I came from, because for a little bit, I didn't embrace it. There was a time in my life where I thought it was a bit embarrassing because I was trying to get to a certain level. Now it's, I have a different mindset, but I believe being vulnerable, and being vulnerable can even be, you know, especially in the, especially at work, you got to admit when you're wrong. And that's an act of vulnerability when you do that. People don't like to hear excuses in our industry. So if you do something wrong or your company did something wrong, you got to be upfront and you need to tackle it before the customer or colleague or, you know, acquaintance finds out. So if you realize that you're incorrect about something, I think owning up to it is big. And that's really a part of vulnerability. And there's also the other part of vulnerability, which is being open about your emotion and even showing some feelings, because that helps build trust as well with whoever you're in, you know, you're interacting, cares that shows that you care about the other person. Trying to think what, oh my gosh, being helpful. You need to be helpful even with your colleagues around you, because if they show that you're doing that without any type of expectation, it proves you to be a genuine person.
Absolutely.
And then something that I'm trying to instill in my children today, which I believe also has to do with being trustworthy and honest and helping you build those relationships, is if you have a strong belief in something, stand up for what's right. People respect that honesty, you know, don't sacrifice your values and what you believe just to appease others and try to get ahead. Because at the end of the day, that's just going to decrease the trust that others will have in you. And then, you know, last and not least, I would say transparency, you know, be transparent. As long as you can explain what you're doing and why you're doing it, most people will be able to understand. And in my case, where I'm dealing with accounts that do, you know, quite a large amount of money with our company, or they're trusting me with their board. I mean, I deal with chains. So like my customers are coming to me and can range in stores from like 30 locations to 1,000. They're entrusting me with their board space. So if something, you know, if I'm late on a production or something's about to go wrong with an order, I need to be transparent with them. So that way together, we can work together to try to, you know, hedge whatever is going to be in the way and try to fix that. So
those were all great points. I mean, I was taking my notes like I normally do. You know, one thing I always love about podcasts, it's kind of a selfish thing, but I always like to also bring on guests to learn. That way I can become a better person at the same time, right? So I'm sharing stories, but I'm learning at the same time, right? And something that I think that you touched on that I really love was a lot of things, but the two main things, well, three things actually. Number one, that vulnerable piece. I think we need to show more of that. I think, you know, we come from a time where everyone felt like they had to be right and they didn't want to admit that they were wrong. And I think that's wrong. Yeah. I think people respect you more when they see that you're human. Why do folks want to act like they're not human? We are not perfect. There are going to be times where we get things wrong and we just have to accept it, apologize, and learn from those situations, right? We never fail. We always learn. So just what are you going to do with, you know, that opportunity that's in front of you? The other piece is
I've learned the hard way from that, Dr. Darrell. I've learned the hard way. And, you know, learn from your mistakes. Like,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
We all have. That, at least that's what my wife would tell me, right? She's always getting on me about stuff.
But, smart woman.
But the other piece is that transparency piece, you know, just being transparent, especially with patients. You know, I always tell my new doctors when they come out of school, if you don't know something, tell the patient, you know what, I need to look into that. Give me a moment. Yeah. If there's, you know, something on the floor as far as a frame that a patient loves and, you know, I know you're trying to close out that deal and you don't know if we have that color, don't tell them that that color may be there. Go look it up and come back. Just go that extra mile. That way that that patient can be happy and just be transparent with them. And the last thing that I really love that you touched on, and I know you do this quite a bit, and that's standing up, right? Stand up for what you believe in. And I personally think, you know, the younger millennial crowd and Generation Z, they are going to be the ones that's going to hold us accountable and make sure that this world moves in the right place. I mean, they are all about making sure that they stand up for what they believe in. And if they see something that's not right, they voice their opinion about it loudly on social media, in person. They really make it happen. So I'm excited about this new generation and the things that they're going to do when it comes to standing up. Now, when it comes to building relationships, outside of some of those things that you touched on, I'm a big fan of, you know, also practicing empathy and being compassionate. I think those are two things that can really take it to the next level and create that trust factor that you were talking about, right?
Absolutely.
Because people want to make sure that you understand what they're going through and they want to be helped in some kind of way. So I appreciate that. Now, when it comes to relationship building, when we were at the Optical Women's Association, the breakfast, you mentioned a name. And it's funny because I was sitting at the table with this young lady. My fierce leader over at my doctor, Sue Downs.
Oh, yeah. And she really is
a
powerhouse.
A powerhouse, no doubt about it. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, like where we come from and you see something and you know that you can go to the next level. When I look at Sue Downs, I think about, you know, she was a front desk manager, right? Worked at the front
desk.
Right?
Her background.
And then, you know, we fast forward 22 years later, you know, of course she co-founded My Eye Doctor, but she's still the CEO to this day, right?
I know.
That speaks volumes. Someone like me that has come in the industry as an eyewear consultant, then an optometric technician, that gives me vision that, you know what, I too can one day become a CEO, right? But don't get me going down my eye doctor journey. I'll preach that. That's what I do. I love my company and I can go on for days. And shout out to Sue for doing an incredible job. But when you mention her name, you mention her name in the light of mentorship. And I think when it comes to relationship building, when you have the right mentors, that helps to elevate relationship building. So maybe if you could touch on, you know, the importance of mentorship and maybe even some of the things that she helped mentor you in as well. I think that'll be fantastic to share with the listeners.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, absolutely. First of all, Sue and I mean, we go way back. Well, for me, we go way back. She was one of the first accounts that I managed when I joined the optical industry. Yeah, back in 2008. And she was the real deal then too. I mean, and they were only about 32 locations, My Eye Doctor.
Yeah.
But she was so impressive, such a force like to be reckoned with. But she and I go way back, and honestly, she's not only a mentor to me, she really is also a friend, and she's been there to offer her wisdom, like at different stages of my life. And when I say that, I'm talking about from when I was single to when I started dating to when I was engaged until when I was married and then I had children. So she literally was there and made herself readily available when I was making decisions to leave one company to go to the next and or was unsure about certain things as being a new mom and working. You know, she was there, as well as, you know, I had also mentioned, you know, Jan Corey and as of recent, Megan Maloney as well, but with Sue, we really have a relationship that goes way back. And with regards to mentorship, you know, with the barriers women continue to face in the workforce, it's important to have a strong female mentor or mentors, especially when, in my case, and I'm not saying you have to be a working mom, but using myself as an example, as a working mom, I feel it's even more important, you know, especially having a working mother mentor means having someone who understands exactly what you're going through.
Right.
And, right. You know, the mentors I've had have been just truly amazing with just even listening to me. There were times where I would text Sue and I'd be like, can I get like 5 minutes? And she always made herself available. I mean, she would be like, hey, I have a 4:30 open. I'll be in the car, but like, call me. And just to hear me out and hear my concerns, yeah. Like, here's the scenario. Here's what I'm dealing with. I've divulged like fears with her of like, you know, here's a project I have. What if I fail? What if I do this? And she was always there to listen. And she was so calm in giving that advice, yeah. So calm that she calmed me down as well if I felt my mind yeah. running like, you know, a mile a minute. So that's really the importance of having a mentor and even having choosing a mentor that can relate with you. Because if you even look at the other two mentors I spoke about, you know, Jan Corey, Megan Maloney, both working moms, both, you know, yeah. went through their career as working moms, because that's what works for me. I need someone who can talk to me and truly yeah. understand what I'm going through, you know, trying to raise these small kids in a way and having more than one child, because all those three women also had more than one child. I mean, I've got three.
Right.
So they all had at least, you know, two. So, you know, they were also able to address those concerns, because the more you have, the, you know, it's a little crazy in the household, but it is really important to have that mentor and finding the mentor that will listen to you, will there to calm your nerves, there to the listening part is the biggest. And obviously there's trust with a lot of stuff that I've divulged with these ladies. So
right.
it's really important. Very important.
Yeah. I mean, representation is everything, right? You know, if you Absolutely. See yourself, it makes a big difference in how you function and how successful you will be, right? So when you're looking yeah. for mentors, you know, look for people that have kind of walked down the same path that you know potentially you're going to walk down, or have the same, you know, similar backgrounds. That way you feel at home when you have that conversation, right?
100%. But it's also important to,
yeah, and it's also important to have, you know, mentors that may be, you know, completely opposite to give you a different perspective. But for when sure. it comes to that safe space, for me personally, it is mm-hmm. important for me to be able to see myself when I have a conversation. You know, I have a mentor, Dr. Artis Beattie, with my eye doctor. He's our chief medical officer, black male. You know, I teched for him before I went to optometry school. So I've seen his journey. I've seen his path. And, you know, I see myself in him, right? And yeah. I'm able to have, you know, conversations with him about, you know, these are my weaknesses. These are my strengths. Should I lean more on my strengths? Should I do more about these weaknesses? Or he'll be up front with me and tell me, hey, you need to step it up here a little bit if you want to be able to get to this place, right? But it's for that sure. safe space that he has created for me. And I think that's a game changer when it comes to relationship building. Because when you have these conversations, you now too can pay it forward to that next person and give it to them, right? And make sure that Absolutely. They feel comfortable in building in incredible relationships. Now, you know, something that I would like to touch on, because, you know, your career, again, incredible, but I know it was a challenge. And, you know, I'm curious to know what your motivation is, right? You know, what really fuels you to be able to do this every single day? Because let me paint this picture again. Let me reset, right? Sales director, entrepreneur, mother of three, right? Dealing with accounts from 30 stores to over 1,000 stores. Mm-hmm. That is a lot to take on. You know, every day yeah. when you wake up, I'm pretty sure there's something that fuels your motivation. And I'm curious to know what that is. And maybe there's something that myself or some of the folks out here listening can take from that. So I'd love to learn what fuels you, Talia.
Absolutely. I don't know if this is expected, but believe it or not, I'm actually motivated when I'm told I can't do something. I don't know why, you know.
I love it.
I don't know. I try to analyze a little bit my, you know, I'm one of four and I am a middle child. So it could be a middle child, you know, syndrome. But when I'm told I can't do something or I can't achieve it, I find empowerment and I'm motivated to prove them wrong. And if I do achieve it, there's like this there's really a true satisfaction behind it. So this is funny. My CEO, Alessandro, who really, you know, he adores me. We go way back as well.
You know, I've had him on the show previously.
He's a rock star. Amazing.
I like him. And I like his style. He's flying fresh. Every time I see him, he's like,
yes,
you know, top to bottom, well put together.
I know.
So I like that guy. Shout out to him.
I'm putting him to shame right now. You know, I'm just jumping on this podcast. But yes, I know. But he, you know, even in his speech, which I didn't know he was going to write that speech, but even in his speech, he referenced me as a shark. You know, someone like, you know, very, you know, ready to get out and go out and get. But recently, my account manager made a different analogy.
Before you go any further, look at your support cast there. She always takes on the challenge and delivers above expectation. Shout out to my guy, Alessandro. Good to see you, my friend. Yeah, like you know, you could tell he supports his team. I mean, the speech he gave prior to you taking the award was just incredible. I mean, you can tell when people are being honest, and you can tell when people are just full of fluff.
Yeah.
And the words that he was using, the energy, his face expression, just the movements, you could just tell it was very authentic and just very real. You know, it's good to always surround you. Sorry for, you know, taking you off track.
No, that's like, are you kidding me? One of my favorite people.
And you know, we had another comment here on this live stream here. Warren Modlin, if you don't know him, you know, he's at over at Hoya. He's doing some incredible things, just a great mind. And he, you know, kind of circling back to mentorship, he was saying, I think being a mentor is a great learning opportunity. Listening to others who have challenges often make you more valuable and improves your performance.
Absolutely.
True gems are being dropped on this podcast this evening. So I'm going to sit back or relax. I'm going to let you get into your story. I apologize.
No, I was just, you know, I thought it was funny. I've heard, you know, he referenced me as a shark and the whole thing about me being, you know, like I said, I'm motivated when I'm told I can't do something, if I can't achieve something. I've always been like that, even as a child. That's just me. Not everyone, and I understand that everyone works that way.
Is that a New Yorker thing?
You know what? I don't know. It could even be. You know, I was raised with two older brothers, much older than me, by the way, like a lot. So, like, I had to really find my voice to find my place in my family. And I mean that in a good way. I had very overprotected brothers. They were, It was, so I think it maybe had to do with, and a lot of times I would always want to do what they were doing. If they were playing baseball in the street or, you know, I was always wanting to tag along and they're like, you can't do that. You're too little. And I, you know, now that I think about it, I think the attitude developed from there. It was like, no, let me show you, I can do it. But I'm going back to my account manager. She recently, out of nowhere, we were having a conversation. And Alessandro used that analogy again about being a shark. He's like, yeah, you're like a shark. And he used it even in that speech. But my account manager, Stephanie, goes, no, she's a hawk. Ooh. And I was like, where is she going with this? You know, never heard that before. And she goes, no, she's like, she's a hawk because she circles around her prey, studying the environment, being persistent and waiting for the right moment to make that move. And honestly, It is that way, because when someone tells you you can't do something, it takes a long time because it's going to be a hefty task. And I enjoy that. It takes me a while to like finally achieve it. But if you keep at it, ultimately it's going to happen. But I thought that analogy was, I have to say that one, I was very like honored to have gotten that one because she paid, I guess she just paid attention. That's right. There she is. Hi, Miss Stephanie.
A lot of love tonight. That's right. But I love that whole hawk perspective. I mean, I'm going to have to use that one. So I appreciate it. Right. It's in my tool belt. I'm definitely going to put that one away. But, you know, so I get it. When they tell you no, that fuels your motivation. But, you know, sometimes even if you're able to get to that promised land and make whatever happen, sometimes there's failure.
For sure.
How do you cope with the failure?
Oh, you got to have failure.
Yeah. I mean, how do you deal with that? Because, I mean, that's the real deal. I mean, for those bold personalities, those big personalities, you always want to win, but you can't always win. Sometimes there are losses. Sometimes you fail. You know, being a leader, being an entrepreneur, being a mother, how do you embrace failure?
I fail all the time. I fail all the time. You don't, you know, everyone goes, says to me, as you did, how do you do it all? How do you do it all? And I told them, look, if I'm having a great work day and I'm succeeding at work, I'm failing with my family. Mm. And if I'm having a great day with my family, I'm failing at work, because you physically cannot do it all. So I don't pretend to do it all. You have to fail. And as far as your journey, I'll tell you this, you don't learn from winning. In fact, you learn from losing or making those poor decisions, because then it offers you an opportunity to learn and grow from whatever bad decision or mistakes you made. You learn from failure. So if you're not failing, then you're not even giving yourself the true goals to attain.
I love it.
And you're not trying.
I love it.
Yeah. You know, how many times I failed? Please, if you want, you want to do another podcast about failures, that would be 2 hours. Let me know. You want to invite me back. Go all day on that.
You know, and that's the thing, Taya, right? Like, you know, we all fail, but not a lot of us like to tell the story of failure, right? Especially in the world of social media and the digital footprint that's out there. All people celebrate are wins, right? But I'll tell you, you know, being a team member at my organization, my doctor, I see patients, I travel, I'm a part of our leadership. That's a lot. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I host the number one optometry podcast in the world. That's a lot. I'm the co-founder of Black Eye Care Perspective. That's a lot. There's a lot of meetings, a lot of time. And yes, time management is my best friend. But to your point earlier, and I love the way that you put that, you know, if I'm dedicating 100% to work, I am failing somewhere at home. Right. So it's like being intentional with your time and learning from those failures and figuring out how you can leverage time better. You know, at least it helps me to become a better person and get out of some of that failure that's out there. But we all fail, no doubt about it.
You have to. You have to, Dr. Darrell. You have to. I was just about to, you mean, honestly, I'm sure people, I asked you before we even jumped on this podcast, how do you do it?
Time management, my wife, strong support system, and also by the grace of God. That's how I get it done.
Amen.
You know, some days I look up and I'm like, how the hell did I just do that? But it's those three things, you know. I have an incredible support system, you know, and
I said the
and
same
it's
thing.
Not just at home. Yeah. And it's not just at home. I mean, when I go out to schools and speak on behalf of my organization, I have a strong support team that, you know, gets everything set up where I can literally show up and plug and play. Right. So I've been blessed to be around, you know, people that see the same vision that I see. And we all play the role to make sure that we make the impact together. We all got different roles, but we work together to make everything come to fruition. You know,
teamwork makes the dream work.
That's it, all day, every day. Now, this has been great. We've touched on, you know, how to build, you know, resilient relationships. We've touched on within that, you know, being transparent, being honest, being vulnerable, speaking up, you know, and standing for what you believe in. We touched on the importance of mentorship, you know, finding mentors that, you know, look like you, that have walked down that path that you want to walk. That way you can have that safe conversation in that safe space. We've touched on, you know, what motivates you, right? And I think it's important for everyone to get out there and figure out what motivates you, because there are going to be some days that suck and you got to figure out what's going to get you out of that tough time, right? And we also touched on failure, right? To embrace failure and learn from it and become a better you, right? I think this is all great. This is how you become your best self. Right.
Absolutely.
And I want to thank you for, you know, being on the show this evening and really sharing your story and just pouring out to the masses out there to hear this. Because again, this is something that there's going to be a young lady that's out there that's from New York that has two brothers that's trying to go to the next level, but they can't figure it out. But now they have heard your story. And now that they know, hey, maybe I should reach out to Taya so that she could be my mentor and she could pay it forward, just like Sue Downs did for you, right? So I want to thank you for sharing your story. But there's two other things that I want to touch on this evening. Okay. The first thing is OWA. What is it? What is it about? Why is it needed? Because, again, I was touched by going to that event. And I want all my listeners and followers to learn more about this. So maybe if you could share what the Optical Women's Association is all about.
Oh, my gosh. So the OWA is an organization that really is committed to supporting and promoting the professional development of women involved in all facets of our industry. You know, their mission is really to enhance and promote the leadership role of women in within the optical industry. And you know, if you notice, you know, it's done through networking, education, and peer support. So truly, the organization does an amazing job to create awareness and visibility throughout the eye care community, you know, in an effort to raise the level of awareness of these multifaceted roles and contributions made by females in our industry. So, you know, in fact, you'll find that many of these efforts are supported by the programs offered by the OWA. And that's why I'm such a huge advocate. I mean, I became a member on one of the committees, you know, and, you know, the memberships, if you don't have one, please go and get one. If you don't have one through your company, if you want to personally donate to OWA, consider the individual contributor program, because that program helps us fund upcoming leaders, female leaders within the industry, where we pay, you know, round trip for their, you know, airfare and hotel, and they get to participate in a leadership program. But truly, all these efforts are supported by the programs offered by the OWA. You got networking events, the annual awards programs, membership directory, professional optical women's workshops, webinars, mentoring tools.
Wow.
I can't say enough things about the Optical Women Association and the mentors that you'll find there. The networking, amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, I can honestly say, you know, just again, being a part of that breakfast, that you truly do. The OWA has a strong support system.
Yeah.
The folks that was in the room, the companies that was in the room, you guys are set, you know, and, you know, I ask everyone out there to, you know, be a part of this organization, donate, like you had mentioned. And I'm going to continue to pray for that organization to become, to get bigger and become more successful. We got a question here. Michelle Lane, she asked, is it open to Canadian women too?
Yes, it is. In fact, West Group does regional events. So Michelle, I know who you are. I know Michelle. I'll reach out to you. I'll get you some information. 100%. That's awesome. In fact, I'm writing that down on my to-do.
See, this show is all about relationship building.
And yeah, that's
exactly
awesome.
What we're doing right now, right? So shout out to Michelle for, you know, tuning in. We appreciate your love and support. But yes, OWA, make sure y'all support, learn more about it. You know, an incredible organization, incredible people, incredible leaders. And again, congratulations on your award that you got, the Emerging Leader Award. Very special. And again, I love your speech. Now, there's one other thing I wanted to touch on, and I always like to ask everybody this. If you could leave one piece of advice for all the listeners and followers out there, what would it be, Talia?
Okay. So, you know me, I can't just give you a straight answer. I'll try to make it short. We're running low on time. But honestly, I will say this, and I say this even to like my own children, to my kids, my girls especially, you know, want them to be strong in this world that we're growing up in. But when it feels scary to jump, that's when you jump. Because if you're staying in the same place your whole life, you're not taking the right risks. You're not going to fail. So don't be afraid of losing or afraid of failure, because honestly, a true loser is just someone that's so afraid of not winning that they don't even try. So believe in yourself, trust yourself. Most importantly, love yourself. Everything that we discussed in today's podcast, building relationship and trust, will come naturally, provided that you love, respect, and are honest with yourself first.
Amen to that. Doesn't get any better than that. Tyus yeah. dropping gems, jewels, great things this evening. We appreciate it. You are taking That's this awesome. Podcast to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Really awesome. Appreciate you. This has been fantastic. And again, just adore your story, adore your energy, and you know, just continue the great work. You are really representing the eye care industry in the right light. And I know it's because of the relationships that you have built. And thank you again for all the gems that you've bestowed upon us tonight. If anybody wants to reach out to you, maybe potential mentorship, maybe more OWA sure. information, maybe join the organization that you're part of, what's the yeah. best way for them to connect with you?
So catch me on LinkedIn, or you can actually find my information, like email address, on the OWA directory, which you can just go on the opticalwomen.org website. So my information awesome. Is there.
Awesome.
Well, and Dr. Dow, by the way, you're telling me yes. you're grateful for me. I mean, look at what you're doing. I mean, it's incredible. Oh. I have a little glimmer compared to what you're accomplishing.
Oh, no, not at all. So you know, I'm having fun. That's all I'm doing every day. It's all about having fun and staying out of trouble, right? But I really appreciate you again hanging out with us this evening. I mean, these comments are coming in. Great interview. Thank you for sharing
Thank
your
you,
wisdom.
Jacqueline.
Thanks for sharing. I mean, everyone loves you. That's right. You got smiley faces here. For those that are listening to this on audio, this is also on YouTube. Hit up our Defocus Media YouTube page. Support, like that, subscribe. Everyone, it's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Stay healthy, stay positive, and stay blessed. And until next time.
All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.